Harry, at some point you have to say Thursday at some point in the song.
Thursday!
I wouldn't have done it there. Can you? I know I'm being critical and I apologize, but just pick a better place. Just whatever you feel.
Thursday.
Too fast.
Jueves.
Now that has more international flair to it. I like that.
Well, it is international. Be nice to Muchachas Day.
It's International Women's Day.
Mm-hmm.
Happy International Women's Day.
Thank you, and happy International Women's Day to you.
Thank you. Downstairs, you asked the musical question, if, fellas, if you could be a woman, who would you be? The number one answer was Michelle Obama.
Good answer.
A lot of people said Jacqueline Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
Some people said Wendy. Snyder.
Well,
that was nice.
Sure.
Somebody said Violetta Podramatic, who, of course, works here at the station, and they said just because it'd be fun to say her name all day. I guess it would take up a lot of the day to just say her name.
You know, if she writes an autograph.
Yes.
She doesn't get as many autographs off as, say, you would.
No, because my name is very compact.
Yeah.
I got the one syllable start. I got the second syllable last name. We used to play a game when I was in third grade. Our teacher came up with this game, and here's what it was. You had to write out your name and then come up with as many words as you can based on the letters in your name. And I, because my letters are very limited. Not only
a lot of L's.
A lot of L's, several F's.
Did you lolly? You don't even know.
I couldn't even do that. But there were some kids in our class whose list would be 150 long, and mine was always 9.
Damn Polish kid. My parents got...
I hope somebody tuned in just then. I hope that was the first thing somebody heard was you saying, damn Polish kid. Wait, what is this show about?
No, because Peggy Kaczynski could have like 150
easily.
Words. Yeah, easily. My parents got invited when I was... Man, this is like long time ago. My parents got invited to a party where you had to bring the birthday guest, the guest of honor, a present with your monogram, your initial. So you would have to bring something BL. And I would have to bring HT. And I just remember like being so fascinated. I thought, what would I bring? HT.
So what did you bring?
Well, it was an adult party. What I came up with that night was a hot tamale.
Oh, that's brilliant.
You know, because...
Oh, that's brilliant.
Well, I don't know if it's brilliant.
Because there it is. Yeah, no, it is brilliant, because my first thought was, I got to dig up Bert Lahr.
Boy, that would take a lot of the courage.
Yes, it would. And then they go, I hope you kept the receipt, because we're not going to keep Bert Lahr. We're going to return Bert Lahr. And I go, oh, after all I did. All right, so if you're just tuning in, and I hope that's the case, because we just started. It'd be ridiculous if you tuned in much earlier. It's me, Bill, and it's Harry Tynowitz and Harry's filling in for Wendy. Wendy's taking the day off, but all plans are for her to be back tomorrow. But thank you for doing this. This is very short notice. I contacted you last night. I said, I know we're down to the last few minutes, but can you do it? And you came through.
Well, I was very busy, so I put the fork down, and I returned your text. And I think before you had finished texting me, I returned your text.
Yeah, it was fast.
You know, Bill, I've known you since college.
A little boy.
Since you were a little boy. I've known you back when your brother's band was on their 7th lead singer.
Right.
And I love being on WGN, and I love doing the show with Wendy. It's always really fun to get to do something with you, whether it's sitting in the stands for a Sox game, or going to a pinball arcade, like they still have pinball arcades, and it's just a blast to come in here and watch Jasmine make us look good.
Yes, and that's exactly what goes on a daily basis. So this, Harry, and you've done it with me before, so you already know this. This is the bonus hour. This is the stream of consciousness. So for an hour, we just kind of talk about whatever comes to mind.
So great.
So what, if I may ask, what is it, what is currently on your mind? What is there something that you've been thinking about that you say, we should discuss this? This bears some discussion. What would that be?
Well, there's a lot of things. I saw this item in the paper that 52% of adults admit to drunk shopping, not just online, not on the phone with like the Home Shopping Network, but going into a store, rolling through a store and purchasing stuff when you're all
well inebriated,
hammered up.
All right, so does that happen on purpose, or is it does it just somehow work out that way? Nobody says, I have shopping to do, so before I shop, I'm going to plaster myself with alcohol and then shop.
I never even thought of that. That could be kind of a fun approach. Well, I used to think that way for everything.
You had a portion of your life where the bottle was a close personal friend.
Right, just 30 years.
Yeah.
But
tell people, if people don't know your story because it's so inspirational, those days are behind you. You don't do that anymore.
Those days are, well, they can't see me.
Right.
But they're over there.
Right.
They're over there. So, yeah, so I was, you know, I was, my first job, I went to work for my dad in commercial real estate where there's, deals aren't made in boardrooms, I soon found out. They're made at bars.
Mm-hmm.
They're made in restaurants. A lot of boozing there.
Yeah.
Then I got into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Where you only have 23 and a half hours off every day.
Right.
So there's no partying going on there.
And then, your place of work is a place that has...
It's a bar with comedians.
Alcohol, yeah.
Right. That's essentially what it is. It's a bar with comedians.
Yeah.
And then I went into radio. And you're not going to believe that there's people on radio that just, you know, party all the time.
Yeah.
And I had no problem with that. And for what we did, you know, I was on sports radio for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And we found great banter on the show if one of us had gone out the night before to the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we always thought, like, being real was better than being contrived. And instead of talking about something, you know, how often can you say, boy, the Bears were disappointing Sunday?
Right.
So we would talk about, you know, stuff that was very real. So I drank a lot just because I wouldn't drink every day. I'd go like 4, 5, 6 days without drinking. But when I'd go to the bar, I would always think, okay, I'm in a bar. Light them up. Mm-hmm. You know, I would start with like, you know, four shots of Cuervo just to like get going, you know, to get that surge. And I would always, enjoy shots of Cuervo. They, you know, if I was having dinner, I would have a vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was in a bar with friends, I would get shots of Cuervo. And there are other tequilas that are much better, that are much more expensive. And everybody gives me these fancy bottles of, used to give me fancy bottles of tequila. But I had a friend, Joe Bill, who told me in like 1986, he goes, man, Harry, man, if you'll just come to the bar I'm working at, and you'll drink draft beer and Cuervo, we won't charge you. And bring all your friends, we won't charge them. So just because that's what I drank, that's what I learned to like.
Right.
And, you know, Springsteen, who I love, did a VH1 Unplugged show.
Mm-hmm.
And he brought the whole band. And they said, well, why would you bring the whole band when you agreed to do an Unplugged show? He goes, well, because I've got the band.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the speakers.
Yeah.
So I always felt like I was in a bar. Why would I just leave now? You know, there's more tequila. So I never got up for, I never had to drink to get out of the house. I never had to drink for work. I just would drink because I was out.
And felt it was the thing to do.
Yeah. And the more you drank, the more fun it was.
Did you ever see it when you were in your heavy drinking days? Mm-hmm. Did you ever say to yourself,
that would be redundant, by the way.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Did you ever say to yourself, I'm enjoying this, but this could be problematic to myself, to people around me? Did you ever look at it that way, or did you just say to yourself, I can get through this. This is the way I live. I'm fine with this.
Every once in a while, blackouts would scare me. You know, when you are at a party or you're in a bar or you're on stage, and the next thing you know, you're waking up.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, talking heads. This is not my beautiful house.
You know, how
did
you
I
got
get
to
here?
Where you were.
Right.
Yeah.
And like a movie script, you know, cut to.
Yeah.
So I would think, well, that's sort of bad that I don't remember getting home. And then I used to, when I got into radio, I started wearing glasses, but I used to always play the contact lens game when I would wake up in the morning to see if I got my lenses both put away and both in the proper cases.
Yeah.
And there were some mornings I'd get up and they'd both be in one side.
Yeah.
You know, or I couldn't find them or I still had them on. But I was always surprised that I got my lenses off.
Were people coming to you, people that you loved and trusted,
like you,
saying, let's say me,
yeah,
just for the sake of argument, let's say me, you probably had some incidents. Take me out of it. But were there other people who at some point said, I'm concerned, I'm worried about you, I know you like to drink, and that's fine, but I think maybe you've drank too much at some point. Was that happening with any regularity?
Only the people that I wasn't drinking with.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, everybody. You know, if a friend asked me for advice on, like, you know, a girl they were dating, and everybody could tell, like, this girl was not right for this guy.
Right.
Sometimes everyone can tell but the guy who's involved.
Sure.
Because that's just the way he is.
Too close to it.
Too close to it.
Yeah.
I had people that were worried. I had bosses ask me, which, you know, should have been a big red flag. But the same bosses were also sending me out to do
promotional stuff with alcohol companies,
right?
Yeah.
I got taken off the air one day to go out drinking with some big executives. I would oftentimes go to the suites with big sponsors, mm-hmm. and because I was fun,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still fun. It's mm-hmm. just now I remember how I got home. But mm-hmm. my problem, Bill, was I couldn't tell when I had had enough.
That is a huge problem.
And I was with a lot of other people who like to drink a lot.
Yeah.
And they probably couldn't tell when they would have had enough. So
right.
I would go out with friends, and they would have, like, a beer, and I'd get a shot, and I would just assume everybody was ready for a shot. I'd order one. I'd have to talk them into doing it. Then I'd order four more shots. Like, I just did a shot.
Mm-hmm.
So I would, like, do all four of their shots. And, you know, I kept succeeding on the radio. I kept, you know, I met a wonderful woman, beautiful girl,
that
started
made your
a
wife
family.
Mad, I bet.
You know, I was able to do so much while I was being, you know, just this out of control lunatic at the bars.
Yeah.
And I wish I could go back in time and change stuff, but I can't.
You would
do
it differently,
that.
Wouldn't you?
I would do it differently.
Yeah.
And I ended up getting a DUI one night.
Yeah.
And it made the paper. And then it was in the paper again the next day. And then it was on, like, page four of the paper.
Yeah.
And then it was on the news, like the first or second story of the 5 o'clock news one day. Like, what the heck? How could that station, that guy that runs that station is my old radio boss. He might run another radio station one day that I might work at.
Yeah.
How could that happen?
But in reality, that accident that could have killed you,
right,
probably ended up saving your life.
It definitely saved my life.
It did.
Because I got so much press that my agent said, you should respond just as big as this arrest has been viewed.
Mm-hmm.
You should stop drinking. I go, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to stop drinking. He goes, prove it.
Mm-hmm.
He said, prove it. Go check in a rehab. So this is how naive and dumb I was. I didn't know rehab meant that you stop drinking.
Yeah, that's their goal, is to make you stop drinking.
I thought rehab
was.
I thought it was like an education, like a re-education.
They would show you film strips and stuff?
Yeah, like they would show you, like, the episode of Cheers where Sam, you know, relapses. And
mm-hmm.
I thought it was like they were going to teach you, like, the dangers of alcohol and how you can only drink certain amounts.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I met my two attorneys were wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And there are DUI attorneys. I didn't know that. But the two attorneys are wonderful. And one guy said to me, he goes, you know, if you had just taken a cab everywhere, you would have been fine. But that wasn't the case. If I had taken a cab everywhere, I wouldn't have been jeopardizing people's lives.
Right.
But I was on track. I was doing, like, even just drinking a couple nights a week, I was on track to drink a ridiculous amount of tequila. And I would have been gone.
The important thing is the happy ending that the story so richly deserves and gets is that now you have not drank at all in how long?
In 7 years.
In 7 years, mm-hmm. which is amazing. You've lost 100 pounds, which
I've
is amazing.
I've lost 100 pounds.
Which,
by the way, didn't happen for the first few years because I thought it would happen, like, right away.
No, it's but gradual.
And also, your body craves sugar.
Yeah.
That you're getting through the booze.
Yeah.
So even more candy. You know, I'm a candy addict to start with.
So now there's more candy.
Right, right.
But most importantly is you've not just helped yourself, is that you have helped and continue to help other people who are in similar situations to yours.
Yeah, the program I'm in is very much about we're stronger together.
Mm-hmm.
And some people go to a meeting every day. I go to at least one meeting a week. I go Saturday mornings, and I get so much strength from other people. And so I have a sponsor, and then I have a guy who I sponsor. And my sponsee, who I'm supposed to help, most of the time he ends up helping me. And, you know, it's just a wonderful relationship. And there are people there that are not my sponsors per se, but I get so much from them.
Yeah.
And there are people younger than me that have been sober for 30 years. Like, I don't know if I could have done it 30 years ago, but I was at a point where I had to do it. You know, and Bill, I never saw it.
Yeah.
It's not like I knew I had a problem, but I was going to avoid it. I really thought that I was fine.
Right. But and, wouldn't you say that of most of the people in that situation,
yes,
that they didn't
yes.
think that it was problematic?
And, Bill, I know a guy who got a DUI on the way to an AA meeting and a DUI on the way home that night.
That's serious.
Right. And the stuff you hear, you know, the stuff you hear in meetings, some of it is, you know, stuff that you'd be embarrassed by, but now we laugh at it.
Yeah.
You know, because you have a whole different perspective. But you also hear, like, some really scary stuff and awful stuff and... But most of the people that speak talk about how, you know, they got their family back. You know, their kids who weren't talking to them, now they're talking to them. They got their spouse back. You know, it's helped them in so many ways.
And here's a question that I kind of already know the answer to because I've asked you this before, but I love the answer to this. You know how, like, if you've served time in jail, your parole officer says, well, now that you're out of jail, you can't hang around with people who have been to jail. You can't hang around with those guys.
Right.
So in a similar manner, the people that you used to spend a lot of time with drinking, what's your relationship with them at this point? Can you be around them, or is that not in your best interest?
No. I think there are two people that pop in my head who I think can't be around me because they think like, Harry's counting and I'm having a lot. But by the way, in 7 years of sobriety, I've never once told a person that they, you know, need to, you know, go to a meeting. You know, I hate the guys that smoke cigarettes for 30 years and they quit and the next day they're telling people how bad cigarette smoking is for them.
Sure.
But I would rather go to a bar and drink pineapple juice or iced tea and be with my friends and have fun than stay at home because I can't, you know, be in a bar without drinking. And as one of the old timers said, well, you hang around the barbershop long enough, you get a haircut. I thought, boy, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Well, as your friend, you are drinking too much pineapple juice. You know you are.
Do you know that they made me stop?
Back on the pineapple juice.
They found out I was diabetic.
Oh, yeah.
And they made me stop drinking pineapple juice.
Got to find something else.
Diet Snapple. Pete Snapple. But I'm also no longer diabetic. My doctor told me in 38 years I'm only his second patient that has ever exercised his way out of diabetes.
I didn't know that that was even possible.
It is. And it can come back at any point, so I have to be good.
Yeah.
But again, I love candy. I love chocolate.
Yes.
And just by exercising and making smart choices, I have temporarily stopped being diabetic. So I just got to keep an eye on how much candy I eat.
So many of us are proud of you because you were going down a dark road and we all worried about you. And I know that car accident was a horrible episode in your life.
Yeah, it wasn't a car accident. It was a DUI.
A DUI.
Yes.
Right.
Not a car accident. I was two blocks from my house. Nobody else was around.
Yeah.
Guy called 911 on me.
Yeah.
Guy who called 911 on me owns the tow truck company that tows impounded cars of DUIs.
So you think there could be some collusion? You think the Russians are behind this?
You
think Vladimir Putin was out to get you?
I'm just saying, but I thought that guy that night was, you know, a certain type of hole, and now I think that guy is like an angel.
He is.
Because when you go, so I went to rehab, and when you go to rehab, you have to have a physical. And in my physical, they found out my liver was messed up. And if in rehab, I didn't want to drink, but then when I heard up that my liver was like messed up, I said, "Okay, it's not even an option."
Right.
You spend like your first 2 weeks in rehab thinking of like when you're going to drink.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, you just go, "Hey, you know what? This is actually pretty good for me. I don't need to do this."
Yeah. What a story. Well, you know, you lived it. I don't have to tell you. It's amazing. I'm glad it worked out. I'm so glad it worked out the way it did. I really am.
Waiting for the happy ending.
It's coming.
Okay.
It costs extra. You know that.
I've heard that.
Let's take a quick break. Judy Pilek will be in. She'll share the news. Yeah, she is. Oh, wait till you hear her story. Hold on, Judy. What were you going to say?
They're all true.
Yeah, every one of these. Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. Then we'll get Judy's take on the news and then more show. It's Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN. I could hardly express. Name this singer, Harry. This is a tough one. Can you name the singer?
Yes,
See if you can.
I can.
Who is this?
This is...
Mel Torme. We were looking for Mel Torme.
And I was trying to think of John's son's name.
Julian?
Julian, thank you. Julian Lennon's
or
dad.
Or Sean.
Right, which one did...
Lot. Lot. That was Julian.
Okay.
Sitting on the doorstep of the house we can't afford.
That one?
No, I'm thinking of different stuff. I'm thinking like Blue Jeans.
Much Too Late for Goodbyes. I think that was also Julian Lennon. Right?
Why have I got Blue Jean in my head?
That's Neil Diamond.
No, I know that's Neil Diamond.
I know you have told me this in the past, but I'm here to tell you you're wrong. Neil Diamond is not the son of John Lennon. We've had this argument 1,000 times. And I always show you perfect evidence that he is not his son, but you demand that he is his child, but he's not.
I'm telling you, there's a Lennon song about Blue Jeans.
There is? A John Lennon song?
No, Sean or
Julian?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Julian. He was like, there was a year or two where everybody went, well, he's heading in the right direction. He's going to be big. And then for some reason, it went away. I don't know why. I thought he was good.
I thought Jacob Dylan's band, The Wallflowers, was going to be great.
Yeah.
I love that album, and I thought that would be fantastic. I loved The Wallflowers, and nothing really happened with them.
They had, I would say, a 3 or 4 year span where they were kind of in the public conscious, you know, everybody was aware of them. Wendy and I had them on when we worked at The Loop. Hats off. And he was a lot of fun. Jacob Dylan was a lot of fun. I made the argument at the time. I didn't say it to them, but I said I enjoy the music of his son, of Bob Dylan's son, to Bob Dylan.
Don't say it.
Why I do. I like it was. That? It was for me. It was. It was a more pure sound. It didn't have. I know a lot of what people like about Bob Dylan is the attitude of Bob Dylan's music. I thought it was just more listenable. Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers.
Well, I mean, don't think of Bob Dylan as a singer. Think of him as a storyteller. He's one of the most.
He is a storyteller.
He is
right.
One of the most significant songwriters in the history of music.
I get it.
And when he went electric, and got booed off the stage.
Boo!
We have sound from Bob Dylan's bar mitzvah. You know, he was his real name is Robert Zimmerman.
Yes,
from Minnesota.
Yes,
we have sound of his bar mitzvah. But ooh, I don't know, I'm Baruch. I'm Baruch, clean on the head.
That was audio from Bar Mitzvah?
Yes. Not that grainy. Jasmine did a great job cleaning that
up. That's great.
Bob Dylan, great lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
He tells a story, and, it's music everybody can sing along to. Plus, that was in the day where people weren't just singing, rhyming, dove with love.
There was more grit to it.
He had significance.
But I agree with all that, but if somebody said, you're going to be in a car for an hour, and I'm going to give you a CD to play in the car, it can either be Bob Dylan or Jacob Dylan. I hate to say it, I would choose Jacob Dylan.
You'd be in the small, in the very small percentage.
It's just me. It wouldn't even Jacob Dylan would go, come on, I'm listening to Bob Dylan. What's wrong with you?
Bob Dylan is, the album Blood on the Tracks.
Mm-hmm. Too bloody for me. I like really, I like my rock.
Too tracky. Yeah.
Yeah. Bonus tracks.
He's just one of the greatest singer-songwriters, and who would have guessed he'd be one of the last two surviving members of the Traveling Wilburys.
That's true, isn't it? Have you seen him live in concert?
I have seen Bob Dylan live in concert.
I know your favorite to see is Bruce Springsteen.
Yes, Bruce.
I get that. Yep. Does the Bob Dylan experience of seeing him live come even close to that?
It doesn't. The closest thing I've seen to, I love the Rolling Stones.
Mm-hmm.
The difference now is the Rolling Stones are old and they do, they're not what they used to be.
Mm-hmm.
It
would be impossible.
Right.
You can't possibly have the same kind of energy 60 years later, can you?
Well,
it's impossible.
Bruce Springsteen.
50 years later, I'm sorry.
Right. Bruce Springsteen will turn 69 in September.
Hard to imagine. Isn't
and
it?
the guy's last tour. He's on Broadway, of course, but he was doing like 4-hour shows, yeah. 4-hour concerts. He's body surfing. He's yeah. jumping on pianos.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff still happens. But you know, the one guy who I love, who's not like a rock and roll guy, is James Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
I love going to see James Taylor mm-hmm. and just you know, he's whenever I'm depressed, his music he just seems like he's more depressed than I am.
Now remind me about James Taylor, because I might be mixing him up with
Carly Simon.
Has he seen Fire? How about Rain? Has he seen Fire and or Rain?
He saw, yes.
He saw both.
Yes. You know what else?
What?
He saw so many times he thought would never end.
James Taylor did.
Yes.
I didn't know that
but
about
But he's
him.
Like a steamroller, baby.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
Yep. Now, his son is also a musician. Did you ever meet his son? We had his son up when I was at WLS. His son came up and played, and he was fantastic, Taylor's son.
I've met his brother, Livingston. Do you remember Livingston Taylor's
yeah.
hit?
Oh, what
I
was
will
it?
Be in love with you. I'll be in love with you. Now, Jasmine's got to find Livingston Taylor's I'll Be in Love with You.
Jasmine, find that and also find earplugs for me, if you could. It's in the third drawer.
Ah, give Phil some tequila.
So I don't know if I realized that they were brothers.
Livingston Taylor and James Taylor are brothers.
So his parents, upon yes. naming their children, said, let's either go extremely basic with a name everybody knows, or let's really go off the chart and see what we can come up with. And they went with Livingston.
That's I thought you were talking about James. Yes.
No, James is a more
James is popular.
One.
I yeah. can't think of another James.
Ugh, there must be one. Oh. No, I can't think of any either.
I was going to ask Gilbert who his favorite Gilbert was, by the way.
I always want to pitch him
uh-huh.
on a movie called What's Eating Gilbert Gottfried. But I don't know if he would play along. I think he probably would. I hope he would. Oh, here's your song. Listen. This is Livingston Taylor. Now he sounds just like James Taylor to me. This is James or Livingston?
This is Livingston.
He sounds exactly like James Taylor to me. Do you hear it?
Yeah, exactly.
How did I not know they were brothers?
I don't know.
I didn't know the Smothers Brothers were brothers until 3 weeks ago. Somebody had to show me. Wait, Tommy and Dickie Smothers are brothers? Are you sure?
Here's
I don't
the chorus.
Think so. Here it is.
I'll be in love with you.
I'm so stupid.
You don't know this
How
song?
Did I not know they were brothers? I know I remember the song, but I'd never put it together that they were brothers.
They definitely are brothers. I suppose you didn't know that the Alou brothers were brothers?
Maddie and Philippe, yes, but not Jesus. I did not know he was one of the Alou brothers. That shocked me.
I can see where. Who are the...
The brothers Karamazov. Again, I enjoyed them so much over the years. Had no idea they were brothers.
What about the Gyllenhaals?
Jake Gyllenhaal and Maggie Gyllenhaal are not brothers.
I mean, they're not brothers.
Jake is the brother. Maggie's the sister. I'm positive. Yeah, I'm positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, then.
That's how you know a conversation is over. When somebody brings up the Gyllenhaals, it's like I fold. I'm out. I can't play anymore.
You know who's an action star now? Is the guy from The Office.
John Krasinski.
Yeah, John Krasinski.
I know.
He's buffed up.
Yeah.
I want to see that movie. He looks good.
All right. So a couple years ago when The Office was on, you would not have thought that of John Krasinski, that he could be an
right.
action star. But I'll go one even deeper. The fact that Chris Pratt from Parks and Recreation
would be a major motion picture star.
I always thought he was good on the show. He always made me laugh, but there was never a time once where I said to myself, he'll be one of the top box office draws. He'll be in hit after hit after hit with big muscular arms and people will fear him. It's impossible. Good for him.
You know, I can't get enough of Chris Pratt.
He's great.
And you know, you do this with your kids, right? You turn them on to like your favorite shows,
sure.
your favorite singers, your
mm-hmm.
favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do that with my kids. And my daughter Lucy turned me on to Parks and Rec.
So funny.
And it's just how did I not know about that show? It is hysterical, and everybody on there like Cheers.
Yeah.
Which is my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jerry, you're number two. But Cheers.
Jerry Van Dyke.
Moment of silence for Jerry Van Dyke.
I know.
But Cheers to me was great because everybody on that, well, somebody might not have a big part
not
that week.
Not a weak link. Everybody was strong.
Yeah, and they lost two regulars, and both times they got better with
right.
the replacements.
Right.
Yeah, but boy, Parks and Rec was great. Rob Lowe was great on that show.
I would say this of Parks and Recreation, and I don't know if you've seen it start to finish.
Yes, I have.
All right. I can't think of a show ever that started out so average or below average and fixed itself. Like the first season of Parks and Recreation, when you watch it,
oh, that's a good topic.
There's one or two episodes that are good, and the rest are kind of mediocre at best. And I used to watch it, and I'd say, oh, man, everybody on the show is so funny. Why isn't this better? And then season two started, and right out of the box, they figured it all out.
Well, now, you used the term fixed itself.
Yeah.
Because there are shows that I watched in their first season that, like, I had no idea how great they would be.
Right.
You know, that, like, they didn't grab you right away.
Like, what? Give me an example.
Here's one that, okay, so one that did was Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad, like, by the third episode, I'm like, oh my God, this is awesome.
You were in.
Yeah. I was in. So, yeah. And I've got to find an example of a show that, when it ended, I was, like, pretty upset with it ending. I watched the reruns of The Office now, and, there was, you know, the show when Steve Carell left, obviously that wasn't as good, but I didn't realize how much I liked the early episodes of The Office until now. But
did you notice in the early episodes, and I've watched it because I watched it when it was originally on, and then I've since, you know, when it reruns, I'll watch an episode or two. The first two seasons were all based pretty much on Michael Scott saying something, and they still did this later on, but nowhere near as much. He would always say something that was so politically incorrect and outlandish and wrong, and a boss should never think or say those things. So that was almost always the hinge. And then they went in different directions. They kind of, much like The Simpsons, instead of just focusing on The Simpsons family,
right,
it became Springfield. It was everybody.
Which is the way you have to do it.
Yeah.
The Cheers would have an episode about Norm or, you know, Cliff or whatever. So now I'm like, I'm going to hate myself later because I can't, like The Shield I loved from the start.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that there's several shows like this.
That you're upset that they've ended or that they ended
that started out as an average show.
Oh, and then built.
And by the time that they built it up, I was like so upset that the show was ending.
Right.
Just that they became like such a strong, prominent show.
Yeah.
And I need to come up with a better example for you.
But I don't know, like, what went on behind the scenes. And we've talked to a couple of cast members of Parks and Recreation, but they had so much talent. And you said to yourself, because originally when they came, I don't know if you remember, but they said it's not necessarily a spinoff of The Office, which it wasn't, but it's done in the style of which it was. You know, it was, and a lot of shows do this. Modern Family does it.
You're talking in the camera?
It's a documentary, yeah. I don't know why that became the style, but it did, kind of. So that first season, I went, boy, I don't know that this is going to last. And Amy Poehler had just left Saturday Night Live, and I go, oh, I'd hate to see her fail so quickly after, you know, reaching the prominence she reached on set. And the cast was so strong, and they fixed it.
Have you seen Superstore?
I've seen a few episodes.
One of the producers from The Office.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty damn good show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. One of the guys from Kids in the Hall, Mark McKinney, is one of the stars of that. I like him a lot.
Oh, that's where I know him from.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's very good on that show.
So they do have, I mean, if you get the right producer and showrunner, they do have the ability to say, we can make this right. The problem is, because television is such that if after a couple of episodes it's not working, they quickly pull the plug. Thank goodness they gave Parks and Rec and other shows like it a second chance.
I'm going to give you an opposite example of what I'm talking about. A show that was great in the first season and then just came to a screeching halt. This Is Us.
Oh, you don't like the season?
I'm not a big fan of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Last year was so inventive and creative.
You don't like when people die in crockpot accidents, though.
No, I'm not a big fan of the crockpot death. I prefer the microwave death.
That's funner.
Yeah, it's always more fun.
And faster.
But that show, every it's the same damn show every week. Someone cries.
Yeah.
And then they have a flashback to something that was just like that makes you want to cry.
Yes.
And then somebody else in the family is more messed up than they are.
You feel manipulated.
Yeah, I just feel like it's already out of ideas.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Only in season two.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was so ingenious in season one, right, starting with the first episode. What
you know
they
how
did.
You fix it if a show's going south? You bring in Cousin Oliver.
Kid. Yes.
Cousin Oliver.
Kid. That's how you fix them all.
That's how it's done. All right, in a little bit, Harry and I will close things off. Bring in Cousin Oliver. In this case, it's Sports Central. We'll find out what they have. Stick around.
Any yes. hoagies? That's my favorite thing to ask Adam. Any hoagies?
Adam likes when you ask him that. Uh-huh. All right, stick around. Bill and Harry in for Wendy on WGN.